everyone. Welcome to the Unfiltered Podcast. My name is Lee Stevenson. I have the joy and opportunity to be a church planter and oversee church planting for Converge. And my co-host here,
I'm Danny Parmalee, and I oversee church planting for Converge Mid-America. And we've got a special guest with us today, Brandon Petty from Generations Church in Portland, Tennessee, which is a booming metropolis outside of Nashville, gonna overshadow Nashville sometime soon. Brandon, thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely.
It's
thanks,
an honor, Brandon, to be here. Thanks for asking me.
So we would love to just ask a little bit about your story. And one of the things we want to maybe focus in on is to talk about the size of the city that you're in, because I know that as I deal with a lot of planters, they think, you know, bigger the city, bigger the plant. Mm-hmm. And you're in one that's not a huge city, but you guys have had a huge impact. So tell us just a little bit about your story, when you planted, kind of where you're at, and then we'll kind of drill in with some questions for you.
Sure, yeah. Grew up in Middle Tennessee. I was born in the Nashville area, and I was moved around a whole lot as a kid. People always ask me, where are you from? I just say Middle Tennessee. And so I've lived in the rural part of Nashville, and I've lived in the city. I lived in Murfreesboro. And so when we got ready to plant, we'd been in student ministry for 15 years. I didn't know where God was taking us. And a lot of people thought that I would end up in a bigger city or whatever. But, man, there was just something about the area that my story correlated with. I grew up around a lot of drugs, abuse, addiction, you name it. And so in that area, when we started looking at demographics, there was just a draw to the area. And so I think my story really lines up with a lot of people's story in that area. And I think that's why God's really kind of given us his grace and success in that area.
So give us some clarity then on, like, who is in that community? And, you know, obviously your story, you felt connected with the people there, but sure. give us an understanding of
yeah, the community. Yeah, so, you know, up until 2008, Portland's a part of a county called Sumner County, and it was one of the faster growing cities in the county. It's an industrial area, so a lot of factories. 2008, of course, the economy took a hit. A lot of factories shut down, most of them automobile. And so when that happened, not only was there a shift in Nashville, where over the next 4 or 5 years would there be growth in Nashville, they started basically trying to fix up some of the rougher parts of the city. Well, those people have to go somewhere. And a lot of the rough part of the city moved north. Mm. And so you had an influx in poverty. And so now you're talking about in the elementary schools, it was about 60% poverty level with the elementary school kids. And so you have the majority of them have been divorced, have either been in a sexual abuse or some kind of drug addiction. And so a high, high percentage of that lies within the area. And now that Nashville is booming again, the place continues to grow. And that's sometimes it's with families who maybe move in from out of state and want to live in a cheaper area and work in Nashville, or it's the people who are being pushed out of the city.
Yeah.
And what is the population of Portland, or what was it when you planted? What is it now?
When I planted, it was at 13,000, okay. And 10,000 people did not attend church. And wow. Then now, the recent demographic study we did, we're pushing closer to that 16,000 mark, and that's in 8 years. We planted in 2012, so there's definitely been some growth in the last 8 years.
That's great. So, yeah. What are some of the advantages of planting in a city of that size?
What we've noticed, and this is kind of something that some of our network has really kind of honed in on, is when you go into some of these suburbs or some of these rural areas, there's really, we talk about the vacuum effect. If you're planting a church that's reaching young millennials or young families, honestly, there's not a lot of churches in those areas. They're more traditional. They're more of your, you know, your big denominational type churches. So I think what we've discovered is, like, there's just this spiritual vacuum where people who maybe grew up in church are no longer in church. And so a lot of the demographic we'll reach to are de-churched. They're the kids who went to church as a kid, but as adults, they got away, and now they have kids. And some of them are, you know, pondering their spiritual life with their kids.
Especially when the kid asks, like, "What, Mom, Dad, what happens when I die?" So,
yeah. And so we've seen some success in just saying, like, hey, what if we hit some of these outlier cities in these areas where there's just not a lot of that going on? Because if you go to the city, I mean, especially Nashville now, there's a church plant popping up, you know, it seems like every other day. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why we found success.
Yeah, that's great. And you guys just got into a building. Yep. And so you launched in 2008. You're in a building now.
2012.
Or 2012.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're already outgrowing that. You're about 1,100 people. Mm-hmm. And so thinking of that with the population, I mean, that is a huge amount of success. So you've found some fruitfulness and some favor there. What are, though, some of the challenges of being in a town that's that size?
Yeah, I think mindset. I think if you're in the traditional, or I like to say established church world, I think there's too much traditional versus contemporary, but in the established church world, you know, depending on how that church is governed, you know, it's the majority rules, and so to speak. And so when you go into a smaller community, sometimes the people who run the city have the same kind of mindset. And so when you're trying to expand or grow or do something that's innovative, you can receive pushback. You know, like even in our – when we went to build our building, there was just so many people who were opposed to how we were building our building, the style of building we were building. So that's some of the issues.
Be specific about that. What do you mean?
Like when you talk about style.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, so like we – you know, some of the codes that were laid down, if you can imagine trying to establish a code that was meant for like Nashville, you know, inner city, and you have a smaller town going like, hey, we want to try to be like the big boys. And so they're trying to establish codes that are almost like ridiculous for the area. So you might drive by and see four metal buildings that are about to fall in that they won't do anything with, but then they're saying, hey, you can't put any kind of metal siding on the road frontage of your building.
Right.
Just stuff yeah. like that that's really hard. It's like, so it's the whole like intent of the law instead of like, okay, is it the letter of the law or the intent of the law? And so we ran into some issues like that. So obviously some of the local churches, you know, we've ran into some pushback and issues. That's some of the challenges that you face, is that there is a lot of traditionalism, especially when you're living in a rural area where, you know, grandpa grew up there, great grandpa grew up there, and this just isn't something that they're used to seeing or being a part of, you know, so.
Tell us a little bit of your launch team development. So did you come in, were you already living in the area? Did you come in fresh? And then how did you actually meet people in a small town where oftentimes it is just who you know? So you're the outsider. How did yeah. you break into the community?
So we lived in a little community called Westmoreland, which was about 20 minutes west of there whenever we were getting ready to launch. And but we were youth pastors in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so we drove 30 minutes back and forth. And so our early launch team days, we met in my house, and we grew the team to about 15 people for probably 4 to 5 months before we actually found a facility in Portland. My wife and I and our family, we moved there in August of 2011. So roughly, you know, 8 months or so before we launched the church. But once we got into the community, we were really, really intentional about, we did monthly outreaches. We put up a billboard, and we just said, whatever the city is doing, we're going to be there. You know, the city, we have an annual festival called the Strawberry Festival. Portland's known for its strawberry farms, and there'll be, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20,000 people at this festival. Yeah. We just said, hey, whatever's going on in the community, we met with some of the leaders at City Hall. I actually went to several of the big churches and met with their pastors and just kind of talked about like, hey, we're not here to intrude or try to take people from your church. We're just here to reach the people who are lost and reach people who aren't in church. And so I actually sought out counsel from some of the pastors who had influence in the area. And we actually received a lot of encouragement and support from some of those guys, and they've still been supporters to this day. And so we were just intentional about going in and saying, like, hey, whatever's going on in the community. And I think it helped when we started getting people on the launch team from Portland. They either had relationships and networks that they brought in. And we just, like I said, we met at least once a week, and if not two or three times a week with a core team. We were just really, really super aggressive. And whenever we would do outreaches, we would invite people to our informational meetings. And So it really was like, you know, you have a relationship with this person and they have four other relationships. And we were just really, really intentional about challenging people. Like, if you're going to come to an informational meeting, don't come alone.
Mm-hmm. In the journey now that you're 8 years old as a church, moving through the launch team development, at what point in your history did you notice kind of a tipping point where people began to understand vision, buying into, hey, this is my church, and, yeah, and excited about what was going on?
So we're about to celebrate 8 years, probably 8 years in. No,
you're still waiting for the tip. Yeah, you're still waiting for it to tip.
No, I mean, honestly, it really was probably about four to five months before launch. There was just something that clicked. We went from a launch team that summer of 2011 of about 25 people to 80 adults in the next 5 months. And it really was just something that it's almost unexplainable. I mean, we set out 6 months before we launched. We had a basically a prayer weekend where we just prayed and cast vision and kind of just prepared for, like, you know, hey, what's day one going to look like? And man, I just told everybody in the room, I was like, guys, I don't know what it is. I said, but I believe that if we do what we envision to do and we set out and we're sold out to this, we're going to see 400 people on the first day. And so, man, there was just an excitement and a buzz and such dedication of people saying, like, hey, this is something that I've wanted to be a part of, because half of our team or more were unchurched. And so some of their disillusion with church, there was an excitement to say, hey, I want to be a part of something that I never thought I could be a part of. You know, I got disenfranchised and disengaged. And so now I have an opportunity to reach people like me. And so, yeah, so, you know, March 4th, 2012, 482 people showed up on our first Sunday, you know. And so it was just one of those deals where I think, again, though, we met for almost a year and a half. So you're talking about up until like 4 months in, it was like, okay. And I did. I just every single week, every single month, I repeated the same thing over and over and over again. You know, just vision, vision, vision.
That's so great. So it's unfiltered, so you can obviously say whatever you want. We kind of actually like that. Talk about some of the difficulties with, you said it's a smaller town. There's poverty. There's drugs. How does that make it difficult administering in that type of environment?
Yeah, some of it is obviously financial stuff. You know, as a church, I always tell people our financial situation is pretty good for a church our age, but not good for a church our size, and because of the demographic that we reach. And so not only are you trying to teach people, it's not just about teaching people to tithe, like, you can't even teach people how to steward what they have very well. And so it's an ongoing process and struggle, because it's not just poverty and, like, I don't have a lot of money. It's a poverty mindset too. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever I have, I'm going to spend. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of irresponsibility. And with that leads to marriage problems. With mm-hmm. that leads to, you know, family issues, because a lot of problems are financial. So,
Brandon, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us and sharing a little bit of your story. And if you're ever in the Portland, Nashville area, I'd highly encourage you to drop on in and say hi, see what they're doing. And we're excited to see what God will continue to do through your ministry and at the church and in really reaching the greater Nashville area. So keep up the good work, man. This has been Unfiltered Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. And until next time, y'all, keep it real.